The Broadcast, the biggest podcast in Vancouver, pretty much.
We participate in light misandry. Get out of here with that. Sexism. All of our societal structures are designed in ways to inherently prejudice women.
I don't like to be bamboozled.
Hi, Georgia. It's Troy Stetcher here. Thank you for labeling me the short king.
Vic actually just got the sweatshirt that says Mock Girl Summer.
I think it's amazing what you guys are doing, which I'm having a lot of fun.
Hello, and welcome to the Broadcast. I'm Sam. I am here with Georgia, who is on the tail end of COVID. Mallory yes. is not here because she is in Spain.
It's like the polar You're right. opposite of me.
Yeah.
I have COVID. Mallory's like gallivanting around Spain with her sister. So jealous.
I'm so jealous. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like everyone on my social media is in Europe.
Yeah. Everyone's in like France. I feel like we talked about this last week. It's like everyone I know is in France or Italy.
Yeah.
And that's like, there's okay. A lot okay. I'm not. I wish
me
I was.
Neither. I had plans to be. I had this like.
Oh yeah. But you didn't want to go with Sloan, right?
Well, so my original plan was, oh, I'm going to be on mat leave. I don't have to work. I should go to Europe for like a month when she's like 7 months old. Mm-hmm. Like before I had her, I was like, this is a great idea. We'll like rent a villa. We'll like go to Europe. I'll like hire some Italian nanny to like look after her. And then I had her, I was like, you're not letting some random Italian woman you've never met look after your baby. And then we went to Tofino and I realized how much stuff I have to take with me for her. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to Italy. It's just not going to happen.
That's very fair. I've always been the kind of person who, I was a nanny for a while. And so I've always been the person who like in airports or on planes, when there's like a crying baby, I'm always the person who's like defending the parents, like from yeah. the wrath of other people being like, you don't understand. Like they will give any amount of money to not have a crying baby. And there's some people who just get like really mad about it. And I remember one time Izzy and I were in the airport in Ottawa flying back, and there was a family and they had five kids that were five and under, and they had clearly been doing a full day of traveling, and the kids were just going insane. Like that idea of the kids like climbing up the walls, that was these children, and the parents just looked like they were so over it. And I remember looking, and Izzy was like, this isn't like, what is going on? Like, I don't understand. Like, what are the parents doing? And I'm like, well, like they've just been traveling for 10 hours with a bunch of insane children. This isn't like, just let it go. And then I remember looking at him and being like, the thing is, I'm defensive of them, but like, I will never get on a plane and travel with a baby unless I have to.
Yeah.
Because yeah. of the, what you're saying, like you have to carry so much stuff. Their ears don't pop, so they get like really upset. And I would just be that person. That's
and like, then like you get there and it's not like when you're
relaxing
traveling before yeah. you have the kid, you're just parenting somewhere else where you don't have all the conveniences of being at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I reamed some guy out one time on the SkyTrain because there was this like 4-year-old kid and he just had a meltdown. It was a hot day. It was the afternoon. He was done. And the mom was just like, I'm not going to give you attention. Like,
yeah.
You do what you got to do. I'll be here. And this guy was like, told her she was a terrible mother. And I turned, yeah, I'm not kidding. And I turned around and I reamed him out. And it's Good the only you. Time I've ever, ever done that. I'm not mm-hmm. a confrontational person, but I lost my mind.
You probably made her day. He probably made her day.
It was really like, you know, like pent up years of like yeah. men being awful. And it really just like channeled into that one moment. Yeah, it was glorious. But yeah. Anyway, still wish I was in Europe if I could, you know.
Yeah.
Like time jump there.
That's great.
Yeah. And also like not have COVID so I could leave my apartment.
All right. Well, do we have highs and lows this week? I don't think we have highs or lows this week. High is actually like this coming Sunday. So we're recording this on Wednesday. So it's the 20th. I believe this Sunday is actually the 2-year anniversary of us announcing the launch of this podcast. So I guess that's a high, except the high is that we have planned absolutely nothing for it this year.
Yeah, so we are fiercely in off-season mode and are not doing anything exciting. And Mallory's not even here, so.
Maybe we'll do like a 1 year and 1 month celebration when she's back.
Yeah, and I'll be in Kansas City in like two weeks. In 2 weeks, so.
That's so much fun.
I will die. It's going to be so hot there.
But you get to go to Rom-Com Con.
Yes, I do. And I get to go see the Kansas City Royals be shitty at baseball.
I'm excited.
And Mallory's going to make me go to the like World War II Museum or something.
That sounds fun. Yeah. Okay. Should we get into sports?
Yeah, let's do it. Lots happened this
week. It's off season, but it's a lot of things going on. We're going to start with the insanity of free agency and specifically the Johnny Gaudreau saga.
I didn't think usually free agency is like on Canada Day.
Yeah.
And so you're like half watching, half like barbecuing probably, or at the lake or something, like doing something else. Yeah. And so I don't know what it was about this free agency. I was like, everything is happening. And then obviously carried on and got crazy. But it feels like there's something in the water. Also, there was like a full crazy super moon a couple of days ago. So I think that's still.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
In the area.
That makes sense. So unless you've been living under a rock, Johnny Gaudreau ended up in Columbus for 7 years, AAV of 9.75, up until I think the week before free agency, he had been, I guess, negotiating with Calgary. Calgary seemed to be under the impression that they could do a deal with him. He ended up leaving, and in his opening press conference with the Blue Jackets, basically said like, we decided the best thing for us was to not go back to Calgary. And like, there was this whole like thing about how he turned it down because he wanted to go home. And then it turns out there was a deal from New Jersey and he turned that down as well. And so there's like a whole meltdown from people about like Johnny Gaudreau screwing over the Calgary Flames because he didn't give them notice that he didn't want to go back. Did you follow any of that?
Yeah, I did. And I think the first stuff was people being like, oh, you know, he wants to go home, or I think the first stuff was like, he wants to get paid. And then it turned out that he turned down like a much more lucrative deal with Calgary.
Yeah.
And then it was, he wants to go home. And then people are, Columbus isn't actually that close. Like, it is, it's closer than Calgary, but it's not like he's, you know, playing for his hometown team.
Yeah.
Which I guess is technically the Flyers, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was the other thing, was people thought he wanted to go to the Flyers maybe.
Yeah. But then in the press conference, he also, he said that like, it was like the Flyers are shit. So like,
yeah,
he's not just going to go play for them. And then, yeah, I think people were kind of shocked about Columbus. Like, it just kind of felt very strange.
It came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really did come out of nowhere. I think people might have thought like he would, I don't know, like go to a sexier team almost. Like, you'd think that you'd want to. Like the Rangers, who are like just perennially attached to any like free agent, basically. I know, we'll so get to weird. Them later when we talk about Nazem Kadri, but the fact that it was Columbus of all places. And I think my favorite thing that came out of this was the shots of him like ducking from the cannon blast because he's scared of the cannon when it goes off, which is really funny. I don't know, it was shocking. Like, I think what's interesting about this topic is the kind of the conversation around like the loyalty of players. And we've seen it come up.
John Tavares.
Yeah. John Tavares is the big one. But also like other players have done it. And even in like larger sports, like obviously the biggest one is like LeBron James leaving Cleveland to go to South Beach or whatever. And I mean, he filmed a whole like ESPN special, which is so weird. Can you imagine if Johnny Gaudreau did that? That would be so funny.
Literally no one would watch that.
Yeah, no one would watch it. But I was thinking about like, okay, why are people like this in hockey? And I think part of it is tied to that, like the history of the kind of the lifetime reserve clause that was really in place until like the 70s, but then fully and not until like 95 were like, did players like become actually like the restricted, unrestricted free agency stuff. Like it's super complicated basically until 95. And then obviously after the lockout, there was more structure on like restricted and unrestricted free agents, but the kind of the legacy of that and how anytime a player then does what's in their right, like it's his right. But the fact that we have as fans or like hockey has built up the supposed conventions that are supposed to happen. So he was supposed to tell the team that he didn't want to come back so they could trade him before the deadline, even though he didn't know at that time that he was going to leave.
And had no obligation to.
Yeah, and had no obligation to. And then was supposed to like stay in Calgary or like all this kind of stuff that we built up these conventions. But like there's nothing saying that he had to at all. And if you are someone who like believes like is pro player and wants players to have more freedom over their decisions, which they ultimately don't really in hockey until they become unrestricted free agents.
Which you have to wait a long time for.
Yeah. Or unless you like, you don't want to sign with your team or like for college players, they get drafted or whatever, which that happens sometimes, but like you lose in doing that. Whereas you only get that power when you become an unrestricted free agent. Then like, yeah. Okay. He can do what he wants.
Yeah. I think it's super deranged for people to be like, he betrayed Calgary. Like, and not just like that specific situation. I think the notion that a player owes a corporate organization anything, given what we know about how teams treat players, is absurd. And it's part of the hockey culture problem. Like this idea of like loyalty to the logo and loyalty to the team before yourself is part of the mentality that creates a lot of the issues in hockey. And I think if you're at the point where you are getting really angry about, like, I get being a little bit salty and like taking tongue-in-cheek shots at him when he comes back. Like that's one thing.
Yeah. Boo him like, all you want.
Legitimately being angry and like going on like public rants about how he's betrayed the team, I think that's a little unhinged. Like, first of all, there were people who were like, he owed it to them to give them notice. If you were in a normal job, you would have to give notice to your job. Like, first of all, that's not actually always true. You're not, in fact, required to give notice. And there are lots of reasons why you might not. And they're like, well, then he'll burn bridges. Sorry, he doesn't want to go back. It doesn't matter if he burns the bridge. It's irrelevant. Like, no one cares. But also, when you sign a contract with a finite end date, that you don't need to give notice. Everyone knows when the contract expires. They had exclusive rights to re-sign him. And to the extent that they weren't able to do so before exclusivity ended, they should have had a backup plan. That's literally the team's job, is to have a backup plan in case they can't sign him. So no, he didn't screw them. And anyone who's like, he should have made up his mind ahead of time. No, he shouldn't have. He earned the right to free agency, which meant that he could have decided to go with Calgary at any given moment. And maybe like, you don't, like, no one knows to what degree he decided he wanted to hear them out or not, or when he decided that they shouldn't go back. Maybe they had a number that was like, if they hit this number, we'll stay. Or maybe the other thing that players are entitled to that like no one ever thinks about is like, you can absolutely go to another team and be like, this is what Calgary is offering me to stay. Can you do better? Like, In what mm-hmm. world should you foreclose yourself from all of those strategic options that you have earned?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's deranged to think that somebody should give that up for the good of the team.
It's also like, he didn't want to be there. So yeah. Like, I don't know, like if a player doesn't want to play for your team, like there's nothing worse to have on your team than a player doesn't want, like it's not good for anyone. It's not good for the player. It's not good for your team. Yeah. It's just like for me, that's like very basically, like if a player doesn't want to be there, like, I don't care. Like, I don't care how good you are. Like, yeah. I just go. It's what I've always thought about, like the JT Miller thing. Like, and I'm not saying he doesn't want to be in Vancouver, but like, my thing is it just trade them. Like, and I know there's like superstar players forever. You can get into that argument, but it's just like, I don't want you around my other players then, or like, you're not in a good spot. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. So, you know, I was thinking about this, like if Quinn Hughes did this, people in Vancouver would like lose their minds. Of course they would. But I think my response would ultimately be the same thing. He didn't want to be here. He has the right to leave. And it's on the team for not creating an environment that was good enough for them to stay, or, you know, it's just kind of chance. And I think one of the things with like the Gaudreau thing, it's like, he clearly wanted to be in America. Like, he wanted to be in the States and he wanted to be in the Eastern, like Eastern US. And he wrote this Players Tribune piece. I mean, he wrote it was ghostwritten, but like the Tribune piece to like explain himself to Calgary, which like is a good PR move to do or whatever. And he explained like his grandfather died and he wasn't able to go to the funeral. And like, yeah, that is terrible. And he also like, there's clearly politics stuff like that he wants to go back. And like, that sucks. Like, it sucks for that. Like, Calgary can't do anything about that kind of stuff to like, change it, but it's just a reality, unfortunately. And yeah, we'll see. I'm interested to see, because like the Tavares thing was one thing, but I think particularly after COVID, like there's a lot of I think there's a lot of players who like cross-border stuff, whether like America or Canada, whatever, if that changes their minds on how they like where they want to play or how that affects it. It'll be interesting, like in the upcoming free agency classes. And there's like quite a few players coming up in, big players coming up in free agency next year. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, not if this starts a trend, but if it's just something that happens. But yeah, just villainizing player, like it's, yeah, just boo him when he comes back. And he's playing for Columbus. Like, okay.
The Erica Brunson.
Oh man.
Okay. In other Calgary news.
Yeah, I mean, this is what makes it worse. Yeah.
Matthew Tkachuk has apparently told them he has no intention of being signed long term and wants to leave. So he's probably gonna be traded. I'm sure. I like have not really watched the reaction to that, but I'm sure the fan base is behaving totally normally about that. That's going to be the best 180 to watch, is like how many people shit on him for saying that, who also said Johnny Gaudreau should have said it earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll, yeah. I mean, it's also unclear what the timeline is. Like, it seems, because people are like pulling up tweets and stuff that he said about like loving Calgary and convinced he's going to sign long term. Like, he literally had a tweet where he was like, can't wait to stay in the city for like ever or whatever. Anyway, and so like, I don't know if this, it's in reaction to Gaudreau leaving or what. Like, something seems off with the franchise. I think they are getting a new arena. I think that was like confirmed, but
I don't know what happened with that.
I think they are. I think that was announced. after all the issues with the city. But I mean, yeah, he wants to go. He'll get traded. I think the first reports were like he's getting traded to St. Louis, which is like, okay. Very fairy tale makes sense. And then there was like a longer list that got sent out. And again, all the teams were in the States, which was interesting. But then Eric Francis reported that that list wasn't correct, but it included like Vegas. Who was on it? It was like Vegas, Nashville, Dallas.
Nashville. It was an interesting list.
I just remember laughing
because teams on the downswing on that list.
Yeah, I just remember laughing because it contained all the Yeehaw teams.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. But yeah, I mean, they'll trade him. They have a chance to trade him. I'm sure it'll be like a trade and sign kind of situation. And or trade and extend, I guess, technically. But like, I guess you just have to go full rebuild, like if you're Calgary, right? Which sucks because they just signed all of the aging Canucks, which is very actually quite funny.
They thought they were going into their contending window.
Yeah. How the turntables have turned.
Oh, man. I saw the best tweet about it. It was like somebody had taken...
It's like a photo of the Saddle Dome light, but it said Sad Dome.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
So the letters in the middle were like not lit.
It would be better if, like, can you imine if Matthew Tkachuk got traded to Ottawa? It would literally be like the Ottawa Senators just like sucked the soul out of Calgary.
I think
because the 180 on that would be like insane.
But also, I think Brady and Matthew playing together would be glorious. So
yeah, yeah, it definitely would.
Manifest that.
Yeah, it'll be sad that the high point for it, like literally, the high point for the Calgary Flames was Brady Tkachuk being in, like, chugging Bud Lights in the stands. And that will be their high point for probably the next 5 years. Unless they get Connor Bedard, which it's looking like could be close.
There are a lot of teams gunning real hard for Connor Bedard. It's going to be hard to top Chicago and Arizona, but
I mean, Chicago's just fully playing with an AHL lineup. Like they're doing what Arizona did that 1 year where it's like,
Arizona starting with what, 24 straight road games.
Oh yeah. Oh, I forgot about that.
That's going to be so bad. That's so rough.
I can't remember if it's 24, if it's like only two out of the first 24 at home or something.
Something
it's
like crazy. That.
Craziness. We gotta go. We gotta go broadcast trip to see the ASU. Oh, see which Bachelor fans are there.
We have to go celebrate Clara and Lawson's engagement.
We do.
Okay, free agency continued. Biggest surprise for me so far that Kadri hasn't signed with anyone yet. I thought for sure that would be something that would happen right away, and it is just like not happening. There doesn't seem to be a ton of news about it either. There's like some rumors that he might be waiting to re-sign with Colorado, but they're like they have to clear out some cap space first. And then all the other reports are like there are multiple teams trying to clear cap space for Kadri, but like no one knows who it is.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, like, yeah, I don't know where he'll go. Like, they're not going to be able to clear the cap space in Colorado, I don't think. Like,
yeah, I thought they might be able to do it, but then with the Nichushkin contract and the Josh Manson contract, I was like, that's a lot of money between those two guys.
Yeah, and they have like. Prospects like up front and stuff, so they like theoretically can plug in the holes or whatever. But yeah, I mean, immediately people were like, he's gonna go to Calgary, and it's like, oh, fucking Calgary's not signing anyone now. Also, like, why would he want to go to Calgary? And then obviously the other one, he'll go to the Rangers. But
I just don't really see that. I don't know why. I just don't watch. Yeah. I'll be wrong, but like, I just, he doesn't have Rangers vibes to me.
Where did he play in junior?
London.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I saw him in a Kitchener Rangers jersey for a second, but that was just me.
It was a London
hallucinating.
Knight.
Yeah, of course he was. They were all London Knights. Kachuk was too. Sure,
he like grew up in London.
Yeah, yeah. He's from London. Yeah, he's from there. Yeah, I don't know where he'll sign, but he's probably the biggest person left, right? Him and John Klingberg, I guess.
Yeah.
Where Klingberg will go. Detroit's been making moves, which have been interesting.
It could be really funny if Kadri went to Detroit.
I mean, yeah, that would be very funny.
Yeah. Okay. Other important signings. Did we do Giroux in Ottawa last week? Did it happen yet? I feel like that's been forever.
I honestly don't remember, but Kadri signed in Ottawa, so it was very
cute. They did a very, very cute press conference because he had Gavin with him.
Yes, and there were some very good jokes about who Gavin was, like him and Brady or him and whatever, which is very cute. And he's like, it's quote unquote hometown, kind of. It's not, but like it is.
Yeah.
So that's not gonna happen. I think it was super obvious that he was going there. Like, involved.
Yeah. Also, there was like the whole, we don't have to get into it, but the whole debate about whether or not Anna Olivia Melnyk have any decision-making power over the franchise that they specifically legally
clearly have. Yeah. Honestly, like that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like, sorry, saying that they own the franchise and they have to approve spending and approve the mandate of the board that reports to them is in no way taking away from what the front office has done. And if you think that, you're really just stretching to make it clear that you don't think that women should have any agency or decision-making power.
Well, it's also just like you're fundamentally misunderstanding the power that NHL owners have. Like,
there is,
they really do.
Like, the reality of the situation is on any team, I don't think there is a single NHL owner who does not at least approve the multi-million contracts that come to them. That is not how that works. Like, yes, the GM is making the decisions, but it's not his millions that he's spending. So if you think that the owners have no say on how much money is available, you're delusional.
But also, like, you then like fundamentally do not understand the history of the Ottawa Senators and Eugene Melnyk, because if anyone knows, like, he was super controlling about the way that the franchise was run. Didn't he like tamper with PK Subban at one point?
I think so.
Yeah. So like, anyway, you can't, whatever. Also very funnily, them taking over the team after their dad died is like the plot of like 16 different like sports romance novels where like, and actually one of the all-time classics, which is the Susan Elizabeth Phillips, who invented sports romance as a genre, by the way, because you weren't allowed to write with sports figures for a while. Her like most, one of her most famous books is about a woman inheriting the Chicago football team. And she starts dating the coach, but like, it's really good. And it's really funny.
I think what the Sens actually need to do is have a reality TV show where we get to shadow Anna and Olivia and see how they run the franchise.
Andy Cohen, what are you doing right now?
Like, think about how many Sens fans you would make.
Ryan Seacrest.
Such a series.
We have such a good proposition for you. Let's like trademark that right now.
Also, if anyone out there actually like
knows them,
we would love to have them on the pod. They should come on the pod.
Yes.
And so just DM us.
Yes.
I think that's all of the free agency. Oh, Jack Campbell in Edmonton. They finally got a goalie who's not Mike Smith. And
hopefully that goes well. They'll win all their games against Calgary at least next season. So.
Okay, moving on to the actual important news. We haven't done a full on WAG report in a long time, and this has been one of, I think, the busiest and most eventful 7 to 10 days for WAGs in a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Before we start, we should say Lauren Cowan has still not acknowledged Connor McDavid's existence.
Yes.
Continuing.
It's pretty funny because she's been like super active on social media. No acknowledgement. Did she even like his birthday post?
I don't know. I never checked.
I should check that.
That should be a level of sleuthing that I've done, but she hasn't publicly acknowledged him on her Instagram or Instagram stories.
Which is pretty funny.
The video was revealed. And she's like going everywhere. She's all over the place. Also went to Paris.
Did she go to Paris? I missed that.
Yeah, I think they went to, or they went to the south of France, maybe. Yeah.
I feel like everyone is, like, as we said earlier, everyone is in the South France. What should we start with?
Let's start with, let's just do the Demko wedding because it's really quick.
There were a lot of NHL weddings over the weekend.
There's been a lot of weddings, a lot of engagements.
Yeah.
I think Kelly Yarncroft got married, someone else.
Liam O'Brien on the Coyotes got married.
Yeah, I saw another one too. I can't remember who it is. Anyway, lots of weddings. Yeah. And Thatcher Demko is one of them. They got married, I'm assuming, in
San Diego.
He's wearing Converse at his wedding. What is your thoughts on that?
It's not for me.
It reminds me of like grade 7 dances.
Yeah, I just think that if you're at, like, okay, there are weddings where it fits the vibe and it makes sense. And like, you know, like if you get married in a barn in Ontario and you want to wear Converse sneakers, like, sure. Like it's a more casual wedding, but like when you're getting married somewhere fancy and everything else is like really upscale, it really just doesn't fit the vibe. And that it was weird.
It looked like they got married at a yacht club, but I also wasn't paying attention. It could have been a hotel or something.
I don't actually know where they were.
It
was not a barn.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a barn. Obviously, a bunch of Canucks were there. Brock Besser was there. Zach McEwen was there. Ex-Canuck, technically. Other players
Jordy were there. Jordy Ben was there. Quinn
Hughes was there.
There were a lot of Canucks there.
Yeah.
And former Canucks.
Yeah. Seemed fine. Whatever. People like, did lose their mind over Beau Horvat not being there, but then like,
yeah,
just like use an iota of common sense. Like he has a fucking newborn child. Like he's not going to travel to San Diego from cottage country with a newborn child.
Also like.
And Holly Horvat was at all of their fucking bachelorette events. Like it's fine.
Yeah. And she actually like posted she posted a story like Lexi holding Gunnar, et cetera, et cetera. Like there's no issue there. People just don't go to all the weddings they're invited to because it's a lot.
Yeah. It is so many weddings. Also for hockey players, like they only can get married in like basically a 2-month window.
Yeah.
So it's like hockey players are like the Stanley Cup, you know, just like, jump in from one wedding to another basically all summer. So, you know, yeah. So they got married. Tyler Seguin got engaged, which like.
We could do an entire Patreon episode about this. And I think we should. I think we should do like a shallow dive now. And then I think we should do a Tyler Seguin Patreon episode deep dive into like. The entire history.
Yeah. The best part of this, I think, was the moment when we realized that Kate Kirchhoff made her Instagram public.
Yeah.
And Zobin went private.
it was so funny. So I didn't,
laughed very hard.
This was the series. This was like my train of thought. This is how my brain worked. I saw the post on Twitter that he was engaged and then went to his Instagram. He had not posted anything yet on his Instagram, but apparently the photographer who did their photos had posted the photos. And then later that day, he posted the super extra engagement video that they had filmed. And then the next morning, I was like trying to see if he had posted the photos of her in the black dress yet, because all of their engagement photos that he's posted so far, she's in the white dress.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just clicked on like the tags for him, and he was tagged in one, and I clicked on it and I was like, Kate Kirchhoff. I was like, she has been on private since they started dating. Like she, like from the moment they started dating, she locked her account down, even though she has like 28,000 followers,
mm-hmm.
until they got engaged. And it's like literally that day, she made it public. And not only that, here's the best part. And I enjoyed this so much. I would like to think that she did this completely on purpose. It's like a victory lap for like taking down the biggest hoe of all time. She shared on her Instagram stories literally every single one of his friends and family congratulating them and saying how much they love her. And
it's like standing ovation.
Glorious.
Just standing ovation.
Yeah.
Kate Kirchhoff. Bow down, queen.
I enjoyed that.
It is really incredible. Though, like, I didn't get the two. Why was the two, they redid it? Because she's in two different dresses.
I think they just changed. I think she just changed while they were doing.
That is so weird.
Although like the photos in the black dress are like
very strange. I just like, I don't know.
There are ads for a sexual noir.
I mean the ones where it like literally looks where like
she's against the wall.
Yeah, it looks like a bodice over like cover. And I'm what is happening? Yeah, I don't know. I feel so weird about like when people do this stuff and they like full photo shoots and stuff. I don't know. It gives me weird vibes. But I'm also like very, like if I got proposed to in public, I would say no and walk away. Yeah. Like, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I'm so not, like, I hate being the center of attention. I'd literally be like, get me the fuck out of here. No.
It'd be somebody who doesn't know you at all. And so you should not marry them.
Yeah. I had one of my best friends, for a friend of hers, she got asked to, the guy proposed like basically at waterfront or like at the convention center, like that, like plaza or whatever. What is that called?
The plaza in New York?
No, in Vancouver.
Oh, like
where the cruise ships are.
Oh yeah.
That area or whatever. And he proposed there and he asked her like, can you just come and like stay back? Like, cause if she sees you, it'll like ruin the surprise or whatever, but like, can you just like covertly film? So they have like a cute little video that like my best friend had to take from like long distance of him proposing and stuff. And I think that's cute. But yeah, I don't know. The full production is kind of crazy. It's very like Instagram influencer though. Like they just have everything documented and stuff. So that's fair. Where did Jeff propose? I feel like we've talked about this, but
Whistler.
Oh, that's cute.
Were you surprised? Actually really funny. Yeah. So we went up to Whistler. He had like planned this whole weekend, which like should have tipped me off because normally I plan things and he had planned this whole weekend and I was like, oh, this is great. I'm like, the morning we were supposed to go up on the Friday and I had tickets to a Canucks playoff game. And so I was like, I'm not going up on Friday. we had to go up early Saturday morning and I'm not a morning person. And the morning of, he came to pick me up and I was still sleeping. And
oh
like,
my God, Sam.
Yeah. Here's the second part that should have tipped me off. He was like super nice about it. Whereas like, I think normally he would have been really, really annoyed and like really mad at me. And instead he was like so nice about the fact that I was still asleep and like not ready to go. And I just remember being like, oh, he's in like such a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't pick up on it We go up to Whistler. We go to dinner at Araxi. Like, everything's great, whatever. We go back to the hotel and I open the door and there's like rose petals and like a bottle of champagne on ice, like whatever. And I literally said to him, like, oh my God, it's so cute that the hotel did this for us. He's like, what the fuck? So yes, I was surprised. I missed every single clue possible that it was happening.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
That's really cute and very funny. Also, lol at the Canucks almost ruining your proposal. Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, we'll do a deep dive on the video and stuff.
Yes. Yeah, we need to do a, like, frame-by-frame analysis of the video. Dylan Larkin also got engaged.
Yes.
Oddly, in Ontario.
Yeah, I think Mal and I talked about this briefly because I was like... Wait, you weren't on the last one, right?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, right. Oh, because Sloan was sleeping on you. You were a helm prisoner,
my day job as a crib.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, I didn't really love the like mini putt golf.
Yeah.
Weird fake grass, but
yeah. I just couldn't figure out why they were in Ontario. Like, they're both from Michigan.
Maybe he goes to cottage country in Ontario.
Yeah. So the reason I realized this was because he actually like tagged all the vendors who helped him set it up. And I recognized the name of the wedding planner because I think she did John Tavares's wedding.
Oh, really?
And I was like, why is she doing something in Michigan? And then I was like, oh no, he's in cottage country.
Yeah, that's very strange. Yes. He also got engaged. Nicholas Obey got engaged.
Yeah. Like the day after they won the cup.
Really?
Wow. Or maybe like time. Maybe has, like the week after. It was very, very quickly after.
To exist.
Also, his fiance looks like she's 12.
She's very active on the twitter.com.
Yeah.
Which is fun. So congrats to them. Bella is in Minnesota with Brock. He acknowledged her on his story.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he like reposted one of the videos that she posted.
That's interesting. So,
sorry to the Elias shippers. Oh yeah, people were going crazy over Matt Barzal. He was at someone's wedding and there's a photo of him. Yeah, there's like a photo posted and he's like holding like his jacket, I think, like over his shoulder. It looks very much like a Hugo Boss kind of ad vibe. And the girlies were losing their minds.
He's definitely dating someone.
He is. He's dating some like Paige Loren style, like New York socialite influencer.
That's what I figured. Yeah, I didn't see like her face, but she was definitely in some of his stories when he was in Italy.
Yeah, I can't remember what her name. It's like Lissa something, I think. I just remember that because of the Bella.
I did enjoy the segue from
from Bella.
Lesser to Bella to
Brazil. Yeah. So yeah, people were losing their minds over him, which I did see. But yeah.
I haven't been on Tumblr in a really long time, and so I feel like very disconnected from all the
goss
happenings.
The other big one is, speaking of Paige Lorenz, is that she's dating Tyler Cameron, which was a match I truly did not see coming from 6 billion miles away, but tells me a lot about Tyler Cameron as a person. Yeah. Also, like, a bunch of her text messages with, like, Morgan Walling are, like, released, which is, like, also very strange, you know.
Paige makes a lot of, like, entertainment news single-handedly.
All I keep thinking about is, like, I can't remember which celebrity it was. But someone asked them, like, oh, like, we haven't seen you in a while. Like, is it really hard to, like, evade the paparazzi? And they're like, no. Like, it's not. You just, like, don't actively seek them out. And I think of that every time. Or like any like celebrity,
or anyone
like that. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, you're right. Like, we know that you're calling and like the situations, and we know that like friend in Us Weekly. Hello, come on. We know. It's how all the Bachelor people do it. Stay relevant.
All right, that was
We can talk about
the gossip report.
Yeah.
And now we're going to do a hard pivot into the usual bullshit of hockey. So tired. I'm so tired of talking about this.
I know. I feel like I would, we had a stretch there and I like feel like we're back on it where it's like every episode like has to have a trigger warning. And it's like, would love to be able to talk about sports without having to put trigger warnings on things or content warnings. Like that would be glorious, but alas, alack, we're not going to be able to do that for a while.
Yeah.
So,
okay. So in more local news, Jake Virtanen's sex assault trial started this week. Today is Wednesday, so it's the third day. I believe yesterday, Brock Martland, who's his defense lawyer, who's a very, very prominent criminal defense lawyer, started cross-examining the survivor. I want to be careful about what I'm saying here because and it's like these comments are not intended to be about him and his strategy as the lawyer. It's more just systemically, once again, the notion that people falsify and make up sex assault allegations for money or for like any other reason is truly laughable. If you follow any of these cases and you know like the tactics that are available to defense counsel to use and are most commonly used are things like, you know, yesterday he asked the complainant, he essentially said there was a video of her meeting Virtanen at Stampede and Virtanen was super intoxicated. And there's like a video of her holding a bowl that he's puking into. Mm-hmm. And he essentially was like, well, my client was like so intoxicated and so gross. Like basically it was like, this person was a huge piece of shit. Why did you want to hang out with him? Was it because you knew that he was a high profile athlete? Like those kinds of implications, like, oh, you wanted to like clout chase or like,
yeah,
go for the money, like those kinds of insinuations. And like the kind, you know, they dug into her text messages and at some point she said, fuck Bo Horvat, which like, I don't understand how that has any relevance to anything in this case, but like, there's just the level to which you have to give up the details of your life to pursue an allegation of sex assault and then to be put on the stand and be cross-examined. And if you've never been cross-examined, you have no idea what it feels like. Like I've been cross-examined in mock trials by senior counsel, just like in classes, not about anything that I've actually done. And it is stressful even when you're like role-playing.
Mm-hmm.
To be cross-examined about your memories about something that happened 5 years ago, that is trauma to you. So you have to relive it. And expecting somebody to have perfect answers and perfect recollection, like nobody would put themselves through that for funsies. Like it is not a walk in the park. And it's just like all of the discussion around it and all of the replies to the reporters who are live tweeting the trial are just grotesque and reminders every day of why women often do not report being assaulted.
Yeah, I think like this, like watching, I've been following along with, what is her name? Sarah McDonald, I think, or
yeah,
I can't remember. It's S McDonald _, at S McDonald _ for people who want to see them. But she's been live tweeting the cross-examination and she was live tweeting when she was questioned by the Crown as well. But you just see the tactics that are at play. And this is clearly very much like what you're saying, Sam, like it's very clearly the avenue that they're trying to go is that she is doing this for money. There was a couple questions today about specifically like why she launched a civil suit first. There were other things about her current boyfriend is a hockey player as well. I guess he played in college or something. Again, like people don't, she's an anonymous because she was under, was she underage when this, when it took place? I think so, right?
She was 17. I don't know. Yeah. I actually can't remember.
But she's like her name isn't released or whatever. That's the other thing that people are going crazy about in the fucking comments is like,
yeah, to clarify that the criminal code prohibits in criminal proceedings naming the victim, but in a civil suit like this one, you actually have to start the suit in your own name, and then you have to apply to the court to get an anonymization order, which is actually fairly difficult to obtain. You have to actually have evidence, it's contested by the other side, and then the court makes an order. You don't, like, the notion that, like, oh, she gets to protect her name. There is obviously good reason. And unless you think you know better than the trial judge, you should just shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. But then there's other cases, like other aspects of the cross-examination that were clearly, like, it's trying to discredit her, like, in just like really just like, I'm not a lawyer, but like I've watched enough stuff about like the details that you try and pick at so that you can unravel someone's like testimony or whatever, and stuff like she said that like he came up behind her and like she was looking out about like they were on a balcony, and then they showed pictures and there isn't actually a balcony, it's like a sliding door and there's like one thing, and they're like attacking her for that, and she's like, that's what I consider a balcony. Or she's like, they watch Netflix, and then they're like bringing up proof that like the Westin Bayshore like didn't have access to Netflix or whatever, like all this kind of stuff. That's like these details that, again, like for people who go through trauma, like the way that your brain stitches stuff back together isn't necessarily like you can remember some stuff, but like you can't remember the finite details. And even if you like, I can't even remember stuff from from 5 fucking years ago. Like,
I can't remember stuff from 5 days ago.
I know. I would probably sit here and be like, oh yeah, we watched Netflix. And it's like, okay, well, it wasn't Netflix. It was some, like, I don't know, Hulu or whatever. Like, you know, like it's just kind of stuff, but that's what they do. And it's fascinating, like between this and then between the fucking smear campaign, which we'll get to in a second, that's happening with the Hockey Canada stuff. Like, it's wild to watch lawyers like lawyer in real time. And like see the like stuff that they do, that like it's their job, to be fair. But you can see the strategy that's at play. And like it's also really horrifying because what you see is every single reason again why people don't come forward. Like, and in this one, the one tweet that got me was they asked her why she stayed in the bed after. It's like, why did you stay there? And I'm just like, I was sat there for like a couple of minutes and just looking at the tweet, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, I can't handle this. That like, we're living in 2022 and we're still questioning why a woman would stay in a bed after someone raped her.
Yeah, I
like it just, and the fact that that would discredit the thing that had happened.
Yeah.
That's the part where I'm just like, we've gotten nowhere. We've gotten nowhere.
That is the part of the public discourse around these cases that it blows my mind that we haven't moved to the point where, like, you know, there are sex assault experts, there are psychologists who are experts in this kind of trauma, and there are scientific reasons to explain all of this. And institutionally, I think what always drives me nuts on Twitter or in discussions about this kind of thing is like, people make an assumption that everyone is supposed to act rationally in their best interest at all times, notwithstanding that that is actually never the case. Like, most people act emotionally and not rationally. Like, you actually,
it's like they have never seen a horror movie. When everyone goes toward, like, everyone, like, the thing is, you don't go, like, don't go downstairs, hide, and then everyone goes downstairs. It's like, people don't do that. That's just not reality.
And even in our own day-to-day lives, we like to believe we always act rationally, but we don't. Because, like, frankly, if you only ever act rationally with no emotion, like, you are, like, clinically, you have issues. And there are cases where the Supreme Court of Canada has expressly acknowledged that the legal system is actually just not built to fairly adjudicate sex assault claims. It's just not. Because the way we evaluate legal claims that are not of the nature of sexual assault, it is like a fair way to do that. But in a case like this, where so much of the evidence is he said, she said, and where what you're evaluating on the balance of probabilities is based on societal norms that are inherently misogynistic and that have always been used to discredit women, it is simply not a good system to adjudicate these claims. And that's also why so few cases get reported. And, like, I always go back to this case, but in Sea Voyeur, like, Justice Lear Dubé wrote extensively about how the justice system, and not just courts, but like police, prosecution, etc., everything is stacked against sex assault complainants because everyone is looking for the ideal victim, because you know that you're looking for the ideal victim because you know that any kind of glaring issue, in quotation marks, or problem, in quotation marks, is going to be torn apart by defense counsel. And so you don't even bother taking those claims seriously because you're like, well, there's no way we'll succeed in this case. And so, like, the entire legal system is inherently stacked against sex assault victims. Yeah. And it's really, and it's gross. And like the fact that, like, people are like, oh, she's going out, like, all of the discussion, like, super casually about, like, how she's a gold digger or she's chasing an athlete or, like, why does she do this? Why does she do that? Like, maybe she's not seeing it, but every woman in your life who you interact with is seeing that. And you're just constantly reinforcing the fact that, short of, like, strapping on a chastity belt and, like, never interacting with men, there is no person who is assaulted who you're not going to find fault with. And that's, like, think about that and how gross that is.
Yeah. And I keep thinking too, like, how terrifying it is when, like, you see this stuff and you see the comments and all that, like, all these people jumping in or whatever, and just seeing how many people, like, don't know what consent is. In a way that's, like, really, like, it's deeply scary to have, like, all these men that are like, well, she went back to the hotel room. It's like, oh my God, it doesn't matter if she went back to the hotel room. That doesn't matter. Like, she went back to the hotel room. Okay. That doesn't mean that she consented to having sex with someone. But in their eyes, that is. And you're just like, oh my God. Oh my God. And then that's when you get to the situations where I know plenty of girls who have been in the situation where they go home with someone and then they go, oh, I don't want to do this, but they're scared to say no because they feel like they have led them on or that they don't have a safe way out of that situation. So they go through with it anyway. And I'm like, I know multiple people who've had that happen to them. And it's like, oh my God. Like, I can't. And then, but there's men who are like, no, that's just normal. And you're like, no, that's not. No, it's not. But, like, it's just this conversation that, like, we fundamentally, like, we don't know how to talk about consent. We don't know how to teach it. And I just, like, it just becomes so glaringly obvious in these situations. When people start to, like, comment on it, and you just go, like, I hope you've never been around a woman because you don't know how consent works. like, or a man. I don't like whoever you've been around, because that's fucking terrifying. And yeah, I don't like the situation with this girl, like, who knows what'll happen. I think she still has her civil suit as well. So like, this will get relitigated again, I guess, even regardless of if he's like found guilty. But like, it's just another example of why people don't come forward, because they have to sit on the stand and have questions asked, like, why were you wearing what you were wearing? Or, you know, why do you remember the exact type of car that he was driving in 2017 and like all this shit? That's all I got on that one. Hockey Canada one doesn't get any better. It's like,
yeah, Hockey Canada actually gets worse. So following the abominable parliamentary committee testimony, the Globe and Mail did two investigative pieces, one in which they pieced together public records and discovered that Hockey Canada uses registration fees from grassroots hockey to go towards a fund that is used for various liabilities that are not covered by their insurance. And that they use this fund to pay out sex assault claims, amongst other things. It is not just a sex assault / fund. It does cover other things, but they do in fact use registration fees from minor hockey to pay out sex assault claims that they don't give to their insurer. And it's, I think the article said, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the article said that it's not just that it's for claims that their insurer has declined to cover. It's that there are claims that they do not refer to their insurer that they just pay out.
Which would technically include this one. Because they didn't refer it to the insurer. They paid out of there, or they didn't use insurance funds, which they technically could have. They paid.
And it's very unclear. So if you don't know, like, organizations have insurance for liability, but in order for your insurer to decide whether or not they're going to cover the claim and like pay for your fees to fight it, et cetera, et cetera, the insurer conducts an investigation on their own to determine whether or not it falls under the insurance policy.
Yep.
If you don't refer to the insurer, there's no investigation by the insurer, which some people have suggested is why they don't do that, so that there's no third party investigating these claims.
Yep.
Whether or not that's the case is unclear. And I would hope that at the next parliamentary committee session, they ask them that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which will be happening like basically in a week. And there's like a billion people that are about to get questioned, including Tom Rennie and what's his face again? The one that was so bad. Yeah. But then also the lead investigator from the Hind and Hutchins investigation that never got completed. Pascal Saint-Ange again, and then all the president of the CHL, and then all three league commissioners from the Dub, the OHL and the QMJHL, which is interesting because I think, actually, I can't remember where the players supposedly came from, but whatever. And then there's like a few more people as well that are going to be part of this questioning, but it's just like, I don't know what you can do other than to just be like, Hockey Canada like can't exist anymore. Like, it's so, they literally lied about everything. And again, I had this moment where I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh wow. Like I just simply could not imagine walking through life with the level of like arrogance and whatever that these like powerful white dudes have, that they think that they can sit in front of a parliamentary committee where their testimony is like sworn, like it's a, like they will perjure themselves, and they fucking lied and thought that they could get away with it. Like, that is insane. But it tells you how fucking steeped in this shit is, that they think it doesn't matter. And yet, I mean, immediately it was obvious because they couldn't get their shit together in that hearing. But then every single bit of it, basically, in the like months since, has just been like proven that they've lied, or that it's been much worse than they like let on, basically. And so who knows what other shit is going to come out of like all these investigative probes that they now have to do, the next hearings, whatever. But I just like, holy shit, Hockey Canada. And then they released this like bullshit statement where they're like, we know how much work we have to do to prove ourselves to Canadians. It's like, no, you're fucking, you can't come back from this. Like, you took minor hockey money to pay off sexual assault claims. Meanwhile, there's fucking girls in Saskatchewan playing minor hockey, and they're told they can't be in the locker room because the kids might sexually assault them. And like, do you remember that story? Like, yeah. That was the first Globe piece. And then the next one came out.
The next one is actually worse.
The second one is a piece in which the Globe spoke to the lawyers for seven unnamed players who Hockey Canada said in their testimony they had no idea who those players were. The lawyers for the seven players said that Hockey Canada has known from day one who those players were because they lawyered up. Then their lawyers proceeded to show the Globe and Mail text messages between one of the players, the first player who she did agree to go back to the hotel room with, and two videos, both under 30 seconds long, which the lawyers said proved that the sex was consensual. I don't know what the lawyers were smoking, and I don't know, like, I don't know how you look at the totality of what was said in those text messages, in which on numerous occasions he pressured her to get her mom to rescind the report to the police, and essentially said, like, there are serious implications for you if you go through with this, which is clearly an implicit threat, if not an explicit one. I don't know how you look at all of those texts and then also look at a video where she's still in a towel and she's in a room alone with seven professional hockey players who have been drafted to NHL teams. And she apparently says it's consensual, and like, think that that's totally a normal thing that happens when sex is consensual. And think that what we should do is show this all to the press for, like, to show that she's not credible. Like, I understand the role of defense counsel is to zealously defend their clients in court. But when you start by essentially mounting a campaign to demonstrate that she is not to be believed in what is considered to be the country's paper of record, that's disgusting.
Yep.
That's like, I have no other words for it. It's disgusting.
It was like, I couldn't even believe when I was reading it. It also started because the law firm was pissed at Hockey Canada for settling, because in their claim was essentially that then Hockey Canada basically implied that the players were guilty, and then now in the eyes of the public they're seen as guilty because they settled, so they're pissed, blah blah blah. And then one of the lawyers, I can't remember what her name is, but she was like, then went off on this tangent about how like Hockey Canada shouldn't be able to like essentially like stay out of like the private bedrooms of like your hockey players, because like you can't step in and decide what is like okay sex because like morals are changing. I'm like, I fucking hate you. Like, I just, let's not like try and like straw man this argument, but whatever. And then, yeah, yet again, I'm sitting there reading about the videos, and it's again, like exactly what you said. You really think a woman in a room with fucking 8 6-foot-1 dudes or whatever, how many, I think it's 8, I can't remember, is going to answer honestly to a question that's asked about whether or not she just got sexually assaulted from the people who just did it? Really? 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 Like, not one iota of you is going to be like, this doesn't actually work. Like, I mean, I went off on like a tweet tangent where I was just like pulling at random threads, but like, women lie about sex all the time. Like, it's called faking an orgasm. Like, that stuff happens like with partners that you may like people insinuating this stuff. Like, it again, it's like, people don't understand how sex works. People don't understand how consent works. And I can't believe that I live in a world where a smear campaign is being carried out by a national newspaper and we're acting like it's normal, or anyone is sitting there acting like it's normal. It's so fucked. Like, it is so beyond fucked. And again, it's like, I understand that it's the lawyer's jobs again, but when you sit there and you think like the people that read this stuff, like we always go back to Jessica Luther's comments when we asked her about how she covers these kind of cases, and her thing is, you always write like the survivors reading the piece. And it's like, let alone EM is reading this, any person who's ever dealt with sexual assault, they were reading that piece. Why would they ever, ever think that they live in a safe society where they will be believed and where they will be able to find any semblance of justice for what happened to them? Like, at this point, why? Why? Like, it's unbelievable. And it's scary, because then you think like, yeah, how many other times has this happened? And people are just like, it's not fucking worth it. Like, it's not worth it. And so we're just like, yeah, we're just like moving back in time. And people are still trying to figure out who the players are. And basically it's been confirmed because X amount of players have come out and said that they weren't involved. And there's a certain amount of players who like, physically like weren't there, like Jordan Kyrou wasn't there, and I don't think Dante Fabro was there. And then there's people like the description or whatever like doesn't match, so if you were in the NCAA like you're disqualified. And then there's just the leftover players who haven't commented, and we'll see where that goes. Like, I don't know, it's just terrible. And oh, what is that? Oh, in 2 weeks, the World Juniors is happening. That'll be fun to watch. So excited. I don't want to fucking watch a Hockey Canada event ever.
Not watching them.
I literally can't. And it makes me really sad because
I loved the World Juniors.
We like, need I no, grew up watching not even that. World Juniors. We need to split the women off. Yeah. They're going to get fucked by this. They already are with sponsorship stuff, all this kind of stuff. That is so unfair that they are getting screwed by this bullshit that's been going on for fucking decades, clearly. They're getting totally screwed by it. Meanwhile, the women like can't even get on TV, and yet they're having these fucking slush funds to pay out the sexual assault cases that the men's team are carrying out. Could you, I don't know, maybe pay for the
point.
Maybe pay for the women's team to, like, I don't know, anything? No? Like, it makes me so angry, and they're getting fucked by it. So like, we need to start, like, something needs to happen where they are siphoned off and separated. I don't want them involved with Hockey Canada. We didn't make a new thing. I don't want to watch a Hockey Canada thing ever again. I barely even want to watch hockey anymore, like, let alone. And I don't say that like to be like hyperbolic in any way. And I know all sports are shit, and like any sport that has a guy who can like throw a ball hard and like kick a ball far will like fuck over a woman no matter what. But it's like, it's so hard to interact with hockey anymore when shit like this just keeps happening and no concrete change is ever going to be made. They're never going to do it. Like, until literally, like, Hockey Canada didn't do anything until 10 of their biggest sponsors were like, we're not giving you money. So, yeah, I'm very mad. Very mad. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I also really like the World Juniors, but like, fuck that. And it'll be interesting to see, like, obviously they're happening in August because it got postponed from Omicron or whatever. But it'll be interesting to see, like, if people do tune in, or like what, like, TSN does with the coverage. Like, it's happening while this is happening. Like, they're going to have to discuss it on air. Like, it'll be really interesting. And then obviously it's in Canada again in fucking January. It's in Halifax and Moncton. So even like, has the IIHF done anything? Are they going to step in at any point?
Doubt it.
I mean, yeah, they're probably just soulless ghouls as well. It's fine. Oh, wow. Yeah. We'll see where this goes, but basically we're watching Hockey Canada just crumble like crazy. It's only going to get worse too. You know,
actually shocked that no one's resigned yet. I'm actually shocked that it's taking this long for someone to resign. And I think it speaks to the arrogance of the organization that they seem to think that this may go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Or that, like, I think it's also it's the fundamental arrogance of hockey. We talk about this all the time with like the arrogance of hockey is one of the reasons why it will never grow, is because it's always this idea of like, we're better than, or like a certain exceptionalism that comes with it. And like, I think it's what you see with Hockey Canada too. It's like, well, hockey's never going to die out of Canada. It's like, well, actually, people aren't signing up to play hockey anymore. Like, signing up to play soccer. And I don't know, like, our men's national team is doing really well now. So I don't know, more parents are going to be like, let's play other sports. Like, hockey, the kind of historic pedestal that hockey's on in Canada, like, isn't infallible in any way, but I think they think that it will be. And, you know, if you want to play those cards, go for it. It's not going to work out for you. Sorry.
So we will probably watch the testimony on Tuesday, and we will talk about this again next week. It will probably be even more depressing than this week.
Probably. It'll be horrifying.
Yeah. Prepare to be angry. All right. And on that heavy note, we're going to do our stars of the week. who is your star of the week?
My joke star is NyQuil, which really has gotten me through. I'm not kidding. At one point I was taking a shot of NyQuil, like nighttime, taking a Tylenol nighttime, and then taking CBD.
Oh my God.
It was an insane cocktail. No one like at me and tell me that that was bad. I survived. but that was my joke one. My actual one is I'm going to give it to the MLB All-Star game because I watched that and it's very fun. It's very stupid. Like it's just kind of like goofy and fun. And the Home Run Derby is really fun to watch. But the game was yesterday and the AL won, which was very fun. And they had the players mic'd up. But actually my favorite part of it is that, Juan Soto, who plays for the Washington Nationals, turned down a contract. It was like $440 million, turned down the contract, and, the Nationals were pissed. So they refused to charter him a flight to the All-Star game. So he had to fly commercial. And, if you guys want to sit there and tell me that sportsmen aren't the biggest babies that have ever lived, I just give you that story and I say, what are your thoughts? And then he won the Home Run Derby, by the way. So he's going to be on the Yankees in like 2 seconds.
I don't have a star of the week. It's been a struggle. I feel like everyone...
Everyone sucks.
Sucks. Everyone sucks. My star of the week. Anna and Olivia Melnick for single-handedly opening the coffers of the Ottawa Senators and unshackling Pierre Dorion to be the GM he always wanted to be.
It's a real big turnaround from him throwing the coffee cup. Do you remember that? That was great.
That was so funny.
That is so good. Oh, also at the MLB All-Star game, they almost lit all of the Home Run Derby fire.
That was so funny.
So shout out to the Dodgers PR person or the baseball PR person that forgot to tell them don't stand next to the flames that are coming up because they almost got singed.
Their faces were so funny.
It was incredible. It also, they did, it like happened like 3 or 4 times and they like kept like, it was very funny. So we'll give an honorary star to whoever the person who won the Tour de France was. I think they're Canadian.
Yeah.
I don't know. I saw Vanessa tweeting about it. That can be our honorary third star. I don't watch cycling. I don't understand how it works.
Oh, gross. Sorry. I just saw one of the questions she was asked today.
They're just, ever since I saw the OJ Simpson like documentary, I'm just sitting here like, people can sit there and like talk about the law being like just and stuff. I know. It's a game and you can play it however you want. Very downer way to end the episode.
Yeah.
Fine. Subscribe. Listen to
subscribe.
Us.
Subscribe. Yeah. Yell about, you know where to find us. Leave us a review. Ask us questions.
Yeah.
Please give me something to talk about other than all of this.
Honestly, like I was thinking to him, like, God, I just don't want to talk about JT Miller. And then it's like, no, I would actually
I'd rather talk about JT
Miller. Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.